The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. So I'm watching the Longhorns kick ass on Saturday night against the University of Louisiana Monroe, and on the first drive for Louisiana Monroe, their quarterback drops back to pass, and the announcers go, "General Booty drops back to pass," and I'm like, "Whoa, what?" That's right, y'all. The quarterback for the University of Louisiana Monroe, his name is General Booty. That's not a joke, y'all. That's not a nickname. His first name is General, last name Booty. General Booty. I kid you not. And I'm not even going to lie to kick it. I'm a 12-year-old mentally, so shit like that. I was literally laughing the entire game. Every time they would say this guy's name, I do not know how the announcers were able to do that with a straight face. It's possible they weren't because the cameras weren't on them every time they said General Booty. I will say he played like General Booty because Louisiana Monroe got their asses beat and handed it to them and they could not score shit. General Booty. Yeah, that's an actual name. Could you imagine this dude, the first time you meet this dude, and he reaches out to shake your hand, and he goes, "Hi, I'm General Booty." I would be like, "What? I would think it was a joke at first, but for real, his name is General Booty. And I had to start the show out with that, because I just could not get past it. I don't know how the announcers were doing it with a straight face, and saying General Booty the entire time, but every time they would bring it up, I would chuckle because, like I said, I am a 12-year-old mentally. Anyways, let's get to week three and the NFL and get to that General Booty, because there was some General Booty played this weekend, that's for sure. So let's go ahead and start off with the Los Angeles Chargers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are turning out to be one of the surprising teams to start the season. They are now 3-0 on the season. They beat the Chargers 20-10, and their defense is just locking it down. TJ Watt annihilating motherfuckers in every single game. I believe they had 5 sacks in this game. So, Herbert wasn't... It was up in the air on whether or not he was going to play. He suffered a sprained ankle last week, so they didn't know if he was playing, and turns out he probably should not have played because he ended up leaving the game midway. And did not turn out good for the Chargers. Justin Fields actually had a very solid game, went 25 for 32, 245 yards and a touchdown. His receiver of choice was Austin III. He had 95 yards and a touchdown. The Steelers are putting it together. Whether or not it's going to last this long, I still have many questions about him. I mean, real talk, it is week three, and I have questions about every single team. There are so many teams where you're like, oh, they should have been good, they should have been bad, what the fuck is going on here? The Steelers are one of them. I did not think this team was going to be good at all. Here they are, 3-0. Like I said, I don't know if it's going to last, if this is going to be then the rest of the season, but right now the Steelers are 3-0. Defensively, this team cannot be fucked with. TJ Watt is on a motherfucking tear again. So the Steelers looking pretty solid. The Chargers, I'd say it was mostly just Herbert was out, but there are a lot of questions with them too, in my opinion. But Steelers walking away with the win, and they are one of the remaining undefeated teams on the season. Then we had the New York Giants at the Cleveland Browns, and the Giants were able to hold on 21-15. The Browns are about the only team right now where you look at and go, this is probably a terrible team, and they have no direction. I don't know. Things could turn around. But they look pretty awful, especially on the offensive side of the ball, especially going up against the Giants, because the Giants are another team that has they're just terrible offensively, but they were able to put it together, at least in this game. Daniel Jones was able to find himself a receiver. Malik Nabers, he had 2 touchdowns on the day. Daniel Jones went 24 for 34, 236 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's actually a really good day for any quarterback, but especially Daniel Jones. Singletary on the ground, 65 yards and a touchdown. The Browns did get a couple of drives put together. Amari Cooper had 86 yards and 2 touchdowns. But overall, this Cleveland Browns team is just pathetic. But, you know, the Giants don't look that much better. But, hey, they were able to put together a win. And good for them. Then the Green Bay Packers were at the Tennessee Titans. And the Packers took it to the Titans. They won 30-14. Man, Will Levis, he just is still getting his ass beat. He had another just couple of bad passes. I mean, it wasn't a terrible day for him. He did go 26 for 34, 260 yards and 2 touchdowns. But man, he was on his ass all day long. Malik Willis, he played for the Packers at the starting position for quarterback because Jordan Love still injured. Malik Willis just played with the Titans the last couple of seasons. They traded him in the offseason. Nobody was really expecting him to do shit. But here he is for the Packers and really carried them yesterday. Defensively, the Packers looked really solid. The Packers look like, honestly, I'd say out of the everybody right now heading into week 3, they're probably the most well-rounded team because Jordan Love is out and they're playing this well without Jordan Love. So I'd say they're probably the most well-rounded team at this point in the season, but I am not kidding, y'all. Week 3, I don't know who the hell is good and I don't know who the hell is bad. I knew the first month of football was going to be weird, but shit, it is just fucking weird. But the Packers, probably the most well-rounded team right now at this point in the season. The Titans look pretty shitty. I'd say that if we're talking about shitty teams, the Titans definitely one of the shittiest teams in the league. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts hung on to this win 21-16. Not really good quarterback play from either quarterback. They had their mistakes, but they're both basically rookies. I mean, Richardson last year was technically his rookie season, but he missed a lot of it due to injury. Caleb Williams, not terrible. He put up some numbers, 33 for 52 with 363 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that's not terrible, but he definitely had his moments. This was really a defensive game, 100%. Roma Dunze, he definitely had his breakout game for the Bears. He had 112 yards and a touchdown. Jonathan Taylor, he finally has broke out with a solid game for the Colts. He had 110 yards and 2 touchdowns, but the Colts were able to hang on to the win 21-16 and get their first win on the season. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Minnesota Vikings. The Texans got smashed. The Vikings just obliterated them from start to finish in this one. They got the win 34-7. Justin Jefferson had a big day. Aaron Jones had a big day. He had 102 yards on the day. He had a touchdown as well. And CJ Stroud, he hadn't thrown an interception, I believe, and it was 7 games straight, something like that. So he finally threw, I think, a couple of interceptions. I know he had one for sure, but I think it ended up being 2 on the day. Overall, this was not a good showing from the Texans at all. But the Vikings, they are a surprising 3-0 on the season. Once again, I look at them like the Steelers. Is this going to last? Are these going to be 2 teams that start out hot and don't even make the playoffs or just kind of struggle along? But right now, these 2 teams are playing really well. Vikings are 3-0, and they beat a good team. The Texans are like I keep saying, they're a smack you in the mouth defense, and yesterday, they got smacked in the mouth by Sam Darnold, of all people, as well. So, Vikings really looking good right now. Then the Philadelphia Eagles were at the New Orleans Saints. The Eagles just hung on to this one 15-12. As a matter of fact, they scored all 15 of their points in the fourth quarter. The Saints, it was a struggle for both teams to really get it going. But the Eagles were finally able to get it going. Actually, both teams were able to get it going in the fourth quarter, but the Eagles were the ones who were able to just hang on to this win. Neither team looked really good at all. Saquon Barkley did have a solid game, 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. But overall, I mean, I wasn't impressed with the Eagles at all. I haven't been impressed with the Eagles in any of their three games yet. I'd say they're struggling so far, at least in my opinion. They're making really terrible calls at really inopportune times. Jalen Hurts looks like he's just having difficulties really connecting with any of his receivers. I will say Dallas Goedert had his best game probably of his career. He had 170 yards, made a really big 61-yard catch to actually set up the Eagles to get the go-ahead touchdown to end up with the win ultimately. But, I mean, I really look at the Eagles, and I think they're a pretty mediocre team overall. They have a lot of questions. The Saints, I just kind of feel like it was time for them to finally come back down to earth. But, I mean, they're still a good team. Kamara, he had a good game in the moments that they needed him. He really showed up. But, I mean, hey, they were going to lose at some point. And they really lost this week. But like I said, the Eagles, they barely hung on to that one, that's for sure. Then the Denver Broncos were at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this was probably the biggest surprise of the day, or one of the biggest surprises of the day. But I feel like this is probably the biggest surprise of the day, because I felt like the Buccaneers were going to dominate this one, and no, the Broncos dominated this one. They ended up getting the win 26-7. Bo Nix, 25 for 36 with 216 yards. And they just were really able to put together a solid game. Buccaneers just, you know, they fell short. They fell short in this one. And the Broncos, I kind of feel like this was a trap game for the Bucs. They were really feeling themselves off of their week one win. Then they, you know, they got that, just got by in that Detroit Lions game earlier in the week. And then they go up against the Broncos, and maybe it was just a trap game where they were just kind of looking past this rookie. But hey, good for the Broncos, finally able to get their win, and the Buccaneers just lost a huge one at home. Then we had the Baltimore Ravens at the Dallas Cowboys, and the Cowboys did not look good at all for three quarters. They finally were able to put together 19 points in the fourth quarter and actually make it a decent game in the end. But it was too little too late. The Ravens ended up getting the win 28-25. But, I mean, for the most part, the Ravens had control of this game from start to finish. The Cowboys' defense got blown up yet again, especially on the ground. I mean, Derrick Henry, he had his coming out game for the Ravens in this one. He had 151 yards and two touchdowns. But, I mean, overall, the Ravens, they just were able to put it together, especially on the ground. And then the Cowboys, you look at them on the offensive side of things, tons of questions when it comes to the ground attack. But Dak Prescott was really able to just keep them above water in the fourth quarter. He ended up with going 28 for 51 with 379 yards and two touchdowns. So he was able to kind of just keep them in it in the fourth quarter. But like I said, it was too little, too late. The defense got completely annihilated in the first half, actually the first three quarters. And the offense really wasn't able to get anything going the first three quarters. And, yeah, it just was not good overall. And, hey, I mean, the Ravens finally got their first win, so good for them. But both teams still have tons of questions, but not a good game at all for my Dallas Cowboys in that one. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the Las Vegas Raiders. I predicted this upset. The Panthers getting the win 36-22. I guess it's not really that much of an upset because the Raiders, to me, just not a good team. That was actually what I was kind of thinking. I felt like Andy Dalton was going to come in, provide a spark against a terrible team, and get the win, and that is exactly what he did. Andy Dalton actually went 26 for 37, 319 yards, and three touchdowns. Chuba Hubbard was able to get it going on the ground, 114 yards. Johnson through the air, 122 yards and a touchdown. So the Carolina Panthers overall put together a really solid game. The Raiders looked terrible, and they have nothing but questions going into this week as well. They're even talking about potentially changing it up at quarterback, which is not anything that I'm shocked by, because this is kind of what I expected from the Raiders and really the Panthers as well. But two shitty teams playing against each other, and that was the end result. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the Seattle Seahawks, and this was all Seattle domination. They ended up getting the win 24-3. Geno Smith, 26 for 34, 289 yards and a touchdown. Charbonnet at running back, 91 yards and two touchdowns. And then DK Metcalf, had a huge game, 104 yards and a touchdown. And the Seahawks, another surprising undefeated team. They are 3-0 on the season. The Dolphins lose yet another quarterback. They ended up losing their second string quarterback to a rib injury. So they may have a third string quarterback starting at quarterback heading into week 4. Then we had the San Francisco 49ers at the Los Angeles Rams, and this actually ended up being a typical Niners-Rams body bag game where it just came down to the end. The Niners were actually dominating this game most of the way through. Brock Purdy was having a fantastic game. He ended up going 22 for 30 with 292 yards and 3 touchdowns. And no Deebo Samuel, didn't matter. He ended up finding Jennings for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns. But the Rams just hung in there. And they kept it going all the way till the fourth quarter. Their defense was able to lock it down. The Niners did make a couple of mistakes, had a couple of drop passes in the end. And the Rams ended up tying the game and then would have this just amazing fourth quarter rally with a 37-yard game-winning field goal. And the Rams would walk away with the win 27-24. Kyren Williams would end up with 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. And the San Francisco 49ers are 1-2 on the season. So who would have thought? I know a lot of people have them as their Super Bowl pick, but like I keep saying, this heading into week 3, there are so many questions about every single team right now, and the Niners are one of them. It's not just their injuries as well. I mean, they fell apart in the fourth quarter in this week's game, and then last week they fell apart as well. So who knows what's going on with them also, but they are 1-2 on the season. Then we had the Detroit Lions at the Arizona Cardinals, and the Lions just hung on for a win 20-13. Montgomery just dominated on the ground. He had 105 yards and a touchdown. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, he also had a solid day, 75 yards and a touchdown. Kyler Murray for the Arizona Cardinals, he also had a solid day, 21 for 34, 207 yards and a touchdown. But the Detroit Lions walk away with the win 20-13. And then the Sunday night football game, we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Atlanta Falcons. And the Chiefs just barely hung on to this one, 22-17. A lot of people are upset with the pass interference non-call that actually ended up happening. The Falcons were driving. It was their second to last drive of the game. And Kyle Pitts, it was an obvious, what I would call obvious pass interference call that they did not call on the Chiefs. But you know what? The Falcons had so many fucking opportunities to win this one, and they fell short every single time. They even had another opportunity following that one and ended up not even getting a first down on a 3rd-and-1 and then a 4th-and-inches that they completely failed on. So this is the Falcons' own fault. This is why the Chiefs are the Super Bowl champions. This is why the Chiefs are 3-0 on the season, because even though they're getting some of these ticky-tack calls, they're still hanging on. Their defense is really playing some stout football right now. Offensively, tons of questions going on with the Chiefs, but you know what? They still won 22-17. And like I said, the Falcons, they got in their own fucking way on this one. All they needed was 4th-and-inches, and they could not get the inches. They could not get the inches, and that's why, like, that previous play with the pass interference, who fucking knows if they would have even got the touchdown because they couldn't even get 4th-and-inches. So who's to say they wouldn't have just failed on that attempt anyway? So the Falcons got in their own way as usual, and the Chiefs just, you know, caught the lucky breaks as they normally do, made the big plays when they needed to, and the Kansas City Chiefs walk away with the win and are one of the few undefeated teams remaining in the league. So we have 2 Monday night football games tonight, beginning with the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 5.5-point favorite. And the Jaguars, man, Trevor Lawrence hasn't got a win in his last 7 games. So that's a pretty jarring statistic, if you ask me, with how much is on this dude and how much they talk about how great he's been since he was drafted. Well, so far, he hasn't really panned out. Buffalo, on the other hand, they're they're an up and down team. I still think they have a lot of questions, but they are at home. I think they're a lot more consistent than the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I have the Bills winning this one 26-19. And going with my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba, we both had a very mediocre weekend. I went 7-7 on the weekend. He went 6-8 on the weekend. I told him, I picked his Carolina Panthers, and I told him if he goes down by one game, it's all because he did not pick his Panthers. And guess what? He went down by one game. I told him, but he is taking the Jaguars, so maybe that will help him catch up to me. But he took the Jaguars 24-23 in this one. I wouldn't be shocked with either result in this one. I'm really mostly just leaning toward the Bills simply because they're at home. Then the second matchup we have tonight is the Washington Commanders at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now the Bengals are a 7.5-point favorite. I expect the Bengals to dominate this one start to finish. They really haven't had a solid game just yet. You know, they got completely blindsided by the New England Patriots in the first game at home. And then last week against the Chiefs, they had their moments, their up and down moments, and I just kind of feel like this week they're finally going to put it together, have a really solid outing. Washington has so many questions offensively, defensively. We have no idea what's going on with them. So I have the Cincinnati Bengals winning 42-20, and Simon also has the Cincinnati Bengals winning this one 34-21. Now let's move on to the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. This is actually the final week of baseball, so this is my last MLB power rankings for the season because the playoffs begin next week, and I cannot wait for it. We still have a lot to shape up, though, with the playoffs. Not everybody has clinched a spot just yet. So let's get to it, beginning with number one on my top 10 MLB power rankings for this week, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 93-63. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Miami Marlins and the Colorado Rockies. Shohei Ohtani, what is he doing on the season so far? Batting a .301, 53 home runs, 123 RBI, and 55 stolen bases. So he is trying. This last week, the last stretch of baseball, he's trying to hit that 60-60 plateau. He's the first ever to hit 50 home runs and have 50 stolen bases in a season. Now maybe he can hit that 60 home run, 60 stolen bases plateau. It's possible, but we'll see. But that's what we've got for him the last week of the season here. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Yankees. Overall record of 92-64. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Seattle Mariners and just swept the Oakland A's. Aaron Judge, we are still on Triple Crown watch, but I think it's probably not going to happen. He's batting a .323 right now. He's still behind two guys right now. So he's right now behind, of course, Bobby Witt Jr. and Jesus Christ, first baseman, Toronto Blue Jays, Vladimir. Completely spaced on him. But yeah, he's right now behind Vlad Guerrero as well. So I don't know if he's going to hit that triple crown mark, but he still leads the league in home runs with 55 home runs over Shohei Ohtani and 138 RBI also over Shohei Ohtani. I feel like he's going to end the season there. He could still hit that 60 home run mark as well. So that's what we're looking with Judge. Still potentially could get the triple crown and still could hit that 60 home run mark. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 92-64. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games, and they are not having a good week. They lost this week to the Milwaukee Brewers and then also lost the series to the New York Mets. But they did clinch a playoff spot, so they're definitely in the playoffs. I mean, there was really no question with that, but they are not having a good week of baseball. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Houston Astros. Overall record of 85-71. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the San Diego Padres, but took the series over the Los Angeles Angels, and they're really going to clinch a playoff spot in their division any day now, and that's really what they're looking forward to this week. Then at number five on our top 10 MLB power rankings are the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 90-66. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Houston Astros and the Chicago White Sox. And they're really just dominating in every way, shape, and form, offensively, defensively, and their starting pitching rotation with Cease, King, and Musgrove. They are really deep, and they're really ready to make a playoff run. You know, with the Padres, you never know what you're going to get. But so far, they've been very consistent, and they have hit that 90-win mark. So we'll see what they've got going on, but I'm pretty sure that they are going to be probably the top wild card spot by the end of the week. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers, overall record of 89-67. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Philadelphia Phillies, but lost the series to the Arizona Diamondbacks. They did win their division, so they're basically just sitting back and ready for their playoff run. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Cleveland Guardians, overall record of 90-67. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. They did hit the 90-win mark, so that's definitely always a big accomplishment. This past week, they took the series over the Minnesota Twins, but lost the series to the St. Louis Cardinals. They also not only clinched a playoff spot, but won their division over the weekend. So they are just sitting back, waiting on what's going to come for the playoffs for them as well. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Mets, overall record of 87-69. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Washington Nationals and their division rival, Philadelphia Phillies. This upcoming week, though, big week for them because they are right there for the wild card. They just need to, if they win out, they're good. They're golden, especially because they are playing against their division rivals, the Atlanta Braves. The Braves are also in line for the wild card as well, so it will help to get just sweep that series over the Braves, and the New York Mets are in. They also have a series against the Brewers as well. So basically, it is a playoff run right now for the New York Mets, so they better keep it moving, and we'll see what they got if they're able to make a playoff run throughout this week. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Arizona Diamondbacks, overall record of 87-69. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Colorado Rockies, but took the series over the Milwaukee Brewers. They are trying to make their wild card push as well. They look like they're going to make it. I feel like them and the Padres are pretty much in. It's basically just a battle between the Mets and the Braves. But you don't know what's going to happen. The Diamondbacks kind of on shaky grounds right now, but I still pretty much expect them to have a solid week and roll into the wild card. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that's been just tumbling and tumbling, and that is the Baltimore Orioles. Overall record of 86-70. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to my San Francisco Giants, a terrible team who is not making the playoffs. And then they lost a series to the Detroit Tigers, a team that's making a nice little run for the wild card spot here in the American League. But the Baltimore Orioles, they are just falling apart and they just can't get it together. And not only are they about to lose the division to the Yankees, but this is not how you want to head into the playoffs. I had high hopes for the Baltimore Orioles just because they're a young team. They put in some good parts, some good veteran parts as well, but they have not looked good. Basically, since August, this team has been struggling. And like I said, that's not how you want to head into the playoffs. And you don't want to head into the last week of the season looking like this. Orioles look like they might be a real quick one and done team. So we'll see what they've got the last week of the season. But speaking of seasons being over, the Chicago White Sox season was pretty much over to start, but they did something that hasn't happened since 1962, and it looks like they might do something in this last week of baseball that might be record-breaking, because we've been talking about the losing that the Chicago White Sox have been on. Well, right now, their record is 36 wins and 120 losses. This ties the 1962 New York Mets for the most losses in one season. So that's what I mean. The Chicago White Sox, one more loss away from being the losingest franchise ever in the history of Major League Baseball. So that's what the Chicago White Sox could do this last week of the season. Hey, just think, they lose all the way out. They are really just going to pad that losing streak. I mean, shit. 36-120. Terrible. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.